All right, well, we're going to go ahead and get started here. This is the forecast that we have for veg oils for the week of Monday, July 13th. With me, I have Tori Alden, who's our veg oils analyst. And Tori's going to take it from here and take us through soybean oil, palm oil, and canola oil. Tori, take it from here.
Thanks, George. So last week we got the latest iteration of USDA's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report for July. And as you can see, they made some changes to their balance sheets for both 2019-2020 and 2020-2021. Probably the most significant change, I think, is the change in exports, where they raised exports 150 million pounds for 19-20 and 100 million pounds for 2021. They're still a little shy of where we are. And for 19-20, if you just look at sort of where commitments are today and take either a reasonable estimate of what we typically do between now and the end of the marketing year, or just an average of recent sales and project that forward through the marketing year, you get to at least our number. I would say that our number is relatively conservative. So I would think USDA probably will be raising that number in the coming months, and we may have to raise our number in the coming months depending on how sales go over that time frame. For 2020-21, we're still well above them. I think they probably will, I think it's more likely they come up closer to our number than that we come down closer to their number, in part because of some of the changes that are going on in Argentina with the reinstatement of their export taxes. The idea is that typically in the past that has suppressed a little bit of soybean oil exports, making U.S. exports more competitive. That's also part of the reason that you're seeing the strength in exports in the U.S. The only other change they made outside of the increases on the production side that were driven by increases in crush was a reduction in biodiesel demand. And there, again, they're a little bit below us. We're still in a period where the forecasting biodiesel demand is a little bit tricky. Our numbers for the EMTS projections have done a reasonably good job of forecasting demand, and that's what we use to drive our forecast for biodiesel production. Soybean oil has been, the demand for soybean oil in particular has been relatively strong, as competing oils aren't as available as they typically are. And so I think USDA may have overdone it on the downside here. But again, I think we get EMTS data this Thursday, and that'll provide a pretty good look at how the producers are starting to react to the increase in crude oil prices that occurred during June. Switching over to canola oil. For the U.S., not surprisingly, USDA didn't really make very many changes to its balance sheets. It typically makes changes to its balance sheet sort of mostly once a year. I think this might not actually be the latest. I think something may not have gotten updated here, because I think they did increase their canola crush and canola production. The biggest change there, or maybe the most interesting thing there, was I think they raised canola crush pretty substantially for 2021, and they only raised production just slightly. And so I think that what you'll see is in future reports, they'll probably reconcile that and raise production up a little bit. Demand for canola oil and biodiesel has started to reverse a trend of lower usage, primarily because corn oil is not as available. And so we expect that probably continues in the coming months, but it's not a reversal of a long-term trend, at least not yet. So I think USDA ultimately will have to come up a little bit on their canola oil used in biodiesel production. For Canada, USDA didn't really make any changes to its 1920 balance sheets, and only minor changes to its 2021 balance sheets, increasing production, again, due to an increase in their crush for 2021. They offset that with higher exports. The 2021 crush will be kind of interesting. The 1920 crush has blasted past the record level. It looks to me like it's probably going to be almost a million tons above the prior record. And so the question then is this sort of a new level of crushing, or are we going to revert back to the old level? And just as a point of reference, the new level is above 10 million tons, whereas the old level was sort of around 9.25 million tons. USDA, I think, is a little bit above 9.25 on crush for 2021. We're a little bit above that, in part because we think that this is a new level, and we expect that even if the demand for canola oil from biodiesel is a little bit weaker, we expect the demand outside of the biodiesel industry to remain relatively strong. And we expect that that exports will remain relatively strong. You can see USDA in their increase in their export number raised it to a number that is a little bit above ours, but certainly closer to ours than they were before the report. And then the last thing we'll cover is palm oil. We got a USDA report, but the market, of course, is much more focused on the report from the Malaysian Palm Oil Board. And probably the most surprising data point in that report was an increase in production beyond what the market was expecting. And really, if you look at it on an average daily output level, it was the highest level since the peak in production in the 18-19 season. So the highest daily average output since October 2018. Given where we had been earlier this year, we had expected an increase in output, certainly not to this level. And so the big question for the palm oil market going forward is this a one-month sort of reaction to the fact that palm oil prices dropped below 2,000 ringgit a ton, and then they've come back up and recovered back above sort of around the 2,400 level. And so there was some kind of catch up in production that didn't occur when prices were low. And so then next month we'll see kind of a back down in the production, or will we follow the typical seasonal trend where we see month over month increases through the summer and into the early fall? Right now, we're projecting that the production will kind of follow the typical path, and that's important because if that's what occurs, then you can expect to see palm oil stocks continue to build through the end of the marketing year, and we think that that probably weighs on palm oil prices. The other big question is whether the export surge that we saw in June will continue in July. In June, Malaysia cut the export tax on palm oil shipments to zero. And so you had a big surge in shipments out in June as India and China primarily started to restock. China in particular is a little bit short on veg oils. So we think that for July, you probably get some of the strength in exports to continue, but certainly not at the same pace that we saw in June when exports jumped 25% month over month. We think probably month over month in July, they'll be down maybe about 10%. At least that's kind of where the cargo surveyor data is kind of pointing to for the entire month. Right now, it's down a little bit more than that, at least through the first 10 days of the month. But that balance between palm oil production and palm oil exports is really going to determine where stocks end up. And right now, there's a relatively wide range. They could end up at as high as 3 million tons, and they could end up below our forecast around 2.5 billion. And that will play, obviously, a really big part in determining the direction of palm oil prices. We think that production remains strong, exports slowed down a little bit, and so you probably come out somewhere in the middle of that range, and that probably weighs on palm oil futures going forward here, at least over the next couple of months. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, George, for any questions.
Sure. Tori, do we want to cover where you see the futures forecast going for canola, palm, and soy?
Sure, we can. So for soybean oil, right now we think we're probably kind of range bound here in the very, very short term. We think we're kind of range bound here between sort of 28 and 29 cents. And then, of course, going forward, a lot of this will depend on what happens with the pandemic and how economic activity recovers. We think generally that soybean oil prices will be supported. And right now, if you look at our balance sheet versus USDA's, USDA is around 2 billion pound carryout. We're around 1.5 billion pounds, primarily because of the stronger exports and the stronger biodiesel demand. If ours is true, then you have a slow drawdown in stocks that occurs over the balance of the marketing year. And then as you get harvest, you start to build stocks a little bit, but then stocks start to draw down again. And we think that's probably what supports prices going forward. All of that can go out the window if the pandemic really starts to accelerate and we see more state governments and federal governments taking measures to slow the spread of the virus like we saw this spring. It seems unlikely that we'll go back to the same sort of regime that we saw this spring, but we don't even necessarily need to get to that point or have the state or federal governments do anything if consumers are concerned about their health and just don't do things like order out from restaurants or travel or any of the sort of normal things that we did before the pandemic. So while we expect prices to remain well supported, there is a big caveat to that. There's another big caveat that has to do with the EPA and small refinery exemption requests. In last month's report, all of the sudden you saw a large number of pending requests in prior years, and that was in reaction to the decision by the 10th Circuit Court that said that in order to get an SRE for this year, you had to have an SRE in prior years. And so you've seen the refiners go back and file these requests for prior years. Depending on what the EPA does with those, it would have a significant impact on expectations for soybean oil usage and biodiesel production going forward. If the EPA were to grant those prior year exemptions, then it would open the door for SREs this year. Right now, we're assuming that that the impact of SREs is zero. And so if we have to factor that in, then that will probably pretty substantially reduce the amount of soybean oil used in biodiesel production and would have a pretty big impact on the price forecast going forward. In the very, very short term, if the EPA makes an announcement, I think you'd see a rapid sell-off in prices, and then you probably would recover a little bit as people kind of figure out exactly how much the decision would have an impact on overall demand. For canola oil prices have remained really, really strong since bottoming in May. If you look at cash canola prices in Canada, they rose back above $800 a ton for the first time since they sort of fell out due to the pandemic. That's being driven again in part by the strength in demand from the biodiesel industry, but also just kind of strength of non-biodiesel demand. And it's occurring at a time where, like we talked about earlier, crush has smashed through record levels in Canada, and so supplies are really, really ample. We think that from here, it gets tougher for prices to move forward. We wouldn't necessarily rule out prices rising back up to the recent peak of $850, which was where they were just before the pandemic. But we think it's probably more likely in the short term that they consolidate around the 800 level, then maybe go up and test that 850 level, but then start to come under a little bit of pressure as the supplies of competing oils like corn oil start to rise and you get a tick down in the demand from the biodiesel industry. For palm oil, here you can see where we think the pressure from the rising stocks is going to happen. We think, you know, over the balance of the year, we're probably close to the upper end of the recent trading range. And we think prices probably remain a bit under pressure, at least through the seasonal increase in production. But once we get through that and production starts to come down, we think that, again, inventory levels in India and China are relatively tight. That works right now because economic activity is fairly limited. But if we assume some sort of return to normalcy, in 2021, then I think both India and China are going to need to restock. And so that bodes well for palm oil exports in early 2021, and you get some support for prices from that activity.
All right. Thank you, Tori. So for the attendees, if you have any questions, go ahead and submit them. We have a couple here for you, Tori. What are the chances soybean oil gets above 30 cents per pound by the end of the year?
I think 30 cents is probably a big ask. Again, a lot of it depends on really this SRE situation, and then also on what the price of crude oil does. I think through the end of the year, that may be the upper end of the range, and maybe we get to it and test it. But I think that in order to do that, you're going to have sort of a lot of things go right. I think if you get a good recovery in economic activity and you get crude oil prices to rise up to $60 a barrel, then I think you could trade sustainably above 30 cents for a significant period of time.
Okay. Do you think the surge in palm oil shipments that occurred in June will continue?
Not really in the short term. I think July we'll see good shipments, but not as strong as we saw in June. And then I think we probably fall off a bit after that. I think probably we don't see a real surge in shipments until we get into 2021.
All right. And the last question I have for you, Tori, is where is the spread between soybean oil and palm oil? And is that still driving the surge in soybean oil exports?
So the spread widened out. It's worked its way back a little bit here over the last couple of days. It had gotten up to around 2 to 2.5 cents, and it's come in a little bit from there. We think that the spread probably continues to widen, but we also think that the impact of the spread on shipments is probably going to diminish a little bit here, in part because supplies out of South America for soybean oil aren't as plentiful as they had been recently. Brazil shipped a ton of soybeans to China recently, and so their crushers are having difficulty in sourcing supplies for crushing. And so not that Brazil exports as much soybean oil as Argentina does, but it's the marginal exports that really sort of set the world price. And so the loss of those is probably going to support U.S. exports more than the spread between soybean oil and palm oil. Given that we think that palm oil shipments are going to slow down a little bit, there may be some more opportunities for U.S. soybean oil exports in places that have traditionally taken palm. Right now, where the spread is, we're kind of on the edge of that area. So if we're wrong and palm oil prices continue to rally, that'll drive the spread lower. And then we might see the spread doing what it did earlier in the year and driving switching between palm oil and soybean oil. But in the short term, I think probably U.S. exports are going to be more driven by the supplies or the reduction in supplies out of South America than they are by switching between soybean oil and palm oil.
All right. Well, Tori, that's all the questions from the audience. Thanks again for a thorough overview. And we'll go ahead and update everybody next week, Tuesday at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Thanks again, Tori.
Thanks, everybody.